All right, welcome in, everybody. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks here with you. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars fall 27-13 to the Houston Texans yesterday. Good morning, Johnny O. How are you today?
Is it a good morning, Mike? Talk that first.
I'm
that?
Up and breathing, right. And right. The whole day beckons, and so from that standpoint, yes.
It is. Yes, it is.
In terms of Jaguar football, is it a good morning?
It's tough morning. Yeah.
I would say no. You know, anytime you lose, it's not a good Monday.
No.
And when you do nothing,
we'll always
in the
have
half.
Last week. Mike.
We'll always have the first half of yesterday.
That's right.
Very, very Casablanca-esque yesterday in the first half. 13-10 at the half, and then they had the ball for 9 minutes in the second half. And what did they put up, like 73 yards? Was it something like that? It was in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, I thought you were at first when you said that. I thought you were referencing the Texans' first drive, and when that was going on, I'm sorry, not the first drive. The first drive of the third quarter.
No, the 17-play drive.
When that was going on, you remember the I forgot who they beat last week. The Giants had a very similar – it's been a long time since last week, hadn't it? But the Giants had a similar drive, and you felt – whenever a team has a drive like that, you feel like it's going to be a game-defining drive. Well, as it turned out against the Giants, it wasn't a game-defining drive because the Jaguars found a way to come back, but certainly – yesterday, that drive that the Texans put together turned out to be a game-defining drive, especially when you get the interception right on top of it. And it just shows you how quickly, with this team, with the margin for error that it has, how quickly a game can change and get away from them. And once this team gets down 10 points, it's what made last week so unusual. It just doesn't have the offense right now to get back in it, and that's a problem.
You said the right phrase, margin for error.
Yeah.
They don't have one, John. No. They have probably a negative margin for error. They need more things to go right in those kind of coin flip columns, turnovers, and things like that. And when they do, then they can win. And with a lot of teams, that is almost a guarantee of victory when certain statistics go in your fashion. But the offense, two offensive touchdowns now in the last 3 weeks. That's clearly, we understand winning masks some of the errors, and we talk about, you don't have to dwell on that for a week, but it doesn't change the underlying issue that this team has struggled to score. Last week, they got the two defensive touchdowns. Even if they don't get the touchdowns, if the defense creates some turnovers yesterday, maybe that's enough to put them in position to get something going.
Well, we had said for a couple of weeks, it was a constant theme on Jaguars.com, and when we spoke, was it fair or realistic to ask the defense to have 9 sacks and 8 forced fumbles and 6 turnovers? I mean, that's a tough pull for a defense to keep doing and keep doing and keep doing. I didn't think the defense played bad in the first half yesterday. They didn't get that turnaround play. Played okay.
That's an NFL first half. It's 13-10. Both teams made a few plays.
Right.
Both teams gave up a few plays. That's the NFL.
And you had one drive that was not a good, they couldn't get a team off the field in third quarter. You would like, again, that not to be a game-ending event. And yesterday, it turned out to be sort of a game-ending event when they got that drive and then the quick turnover, boom. It just felt like the game was over at that point. And that's where it's got to get – that's where the offense has to get better and catch up. I don't know what's going to happen this season with this bunch, with as young as this bunch is. I don't know if you're going to see – a rapid development in the next 3 weeks, but it's got to happen for this franchise.
It does, and it's going to have to be with a lot of the guys that we're seeing play right now.
Yeah,
as part of the core. You wonder, as you watch Cecil Shorts really not make an impact yesterday, have a negative impact, if anything, with the drops. Is he part of the future of this franchise?
I'd be a little surprised at this point, and I hate saying that because – I love covering the guy, and I think
he's a pro.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you want in a guy to be around, he's outstanding. And I sort of think that if he does go somewhere else, that there could be a situation where he excels. I just I think with the young guys at that position right now, it just wouldn't surprise you if it goes the other direction. And I hate saying that, but.
I agree with you, but at the same time, you can look at Cecil Shorts and say maybe he's going to be best served in a complimentary role somewhere, and he may thrive in that role as somebody's number two or three, you know, on a much more established team with a better offensive line and a better quarterback. You see what Emmanuel Sanders did, who was a nice player in Pittsburgh and went to a Pro Bowl caliber player in Denver because of the circumstances around it. But
again, I don't know that for sure.
No, right. We're just talking here, our thoughts on it. But
with 3 weeks in the season, with the youth at that position, with with Marquise Lee, I think starting to show that. You talk about a guy who you look at now, who you can envision. We talk about that jump from year one to year two that guys make. You can really see him possibly doing it because the light's starting to come on, and when he really starts getting comfortable and getting really quick in his mind in this offense, he's showing why they drafted him where he did.
Yeah, so, a couple of quick things, just to wrap up my thought on Cecil.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get away from that.
No, it's okay. With the, you know, in that situation, he may flourish. Excuse me. It doesn't change the fact that when the ball hits you in the chest, there's nothing about the situation that you got to catch that football in the pros, you know, on that, you know, that slant, you've got a chance to run away from your defender.
It was interesting. And I have to go back and look at it. Our camera guy actually had a good angle on that play. And he said it looked to him like the ball almost did a knuckle on Cecil. Not that he shouldn't have caught it, but I said the same thing last night. I said, man, you got to catch that ball. And Patrick Kavanaugh, our camera guy, had a good angle on it. He goes, it looked like it came in weird, like a knuckleball. You know, Patrick used to play baseball. He said it looked like it was curving. Again, you got to catch it. But I will be anxious to see if I can see an angle where that happened because it was a weird ball to drop in that situation.
I thought you were mentioning Marquise Lee. I thought he had a moment or two where, again, he flashed. I thought that catch over the defensive back was exceptional. Yesterday, but that's what they've got right now. They've got moments, right? And instead of sustained, not even drives per se. I mean, the one drive they had, touchdown drive. Hey, you took over at the 50-yard line. Mm-hmm. Great that you're able to punch that one in, and that's fine. You got to do more of that, obviously, and it hasn't been getting.
Well, and then
done.
Plays like the pass that Clay Harbor dropped in the first half.
Got to have it,
and that winds up in a field goal. I don't know that he would have scored on that play. I haven't seen the replay. It certainly gets them in better position. They wound up getting a first down, so you didn't worry about that drop as much. But that's sort of the play that they're not getting. Oh, that was a great play by Bortles on that play.
It was great
play. Gets
away
from the rush and makes a good throw, makes an NFL-type throw, sees the guy downfield. So, again, you're seeing flashes, but,
That's a momentum-type situation, though.
Yeah,
if
really
he
is.
Catches that, I think the whole team's like, oh, when you get a big chunk like that, bam, we're right down the field, and you feel like you're going to run up there, and the other team just kind of took a gut punch, and maybe you're able to punch that one in.
Yeah, and that's what I thought Bortles in the first half yesterday, and everybody watching it felt this, that he was sort of back to being, free, loose.
Absolutely.
It looked like the last couple of weeks – I had mentioned last week that it looked like he was working hard to play free, like he was trying to get back to what he'd been doing before, trying harder to avoid the rush. And he sort of did that in the first half. So, again, I thought that was a good sign to take. And I think right now it's just tough for this team to sustain the offense throughout the whole course of the game. And I just think a lot of that's youth. I think once they're out there and the other team adjusts to it, it's tough for them to make that second adjustment because they don't have guys that they absolutely can rely on that they know what they're doing yet.
We'll hear some post-game thoughts from the head coach, Gus Bradley, on this, and hopefully hear from some Jaguar fans today. Are you mystified? Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Are you taking the big picture view and trying to be patient with the youth that's trying to develop on this football team? Whatever your point of view, you can share it with us at 641-1010. The Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today asks you which one of three ways do you look at this team. Is the 2014 version of your Jacksonville Jaguars, this year's team right now at this moment, better, the same, or worse than it was at a comparable point last year? Let's say going into the final three games of the season exactly 1 year ago. Is this Jaguar team better? Is it the same? Or is it actually worse than it was in 2013 when you thought the franchise may have bottomed out? Now, keeping in mind, at that point in time, you're coming off right now. You had just won the fourth game in 5 weeks that the Jags were going to win. They ended up losing their final three games of the season. So record-wise, certainly they're not as good, but that's not always the indicator that you're looking for to judge whether a team is, quote, better or worse than it was at a certain point in the past. So you can share your thoughts on that, both on the phone lines at 641-1010 and tweet us at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, and at 1010XL, Fat Tony, of course, at 1010XL, Lauren. Don't leave her out either. Just getting rolling today, we'll talk heavily about the Jags' performance or lack thereof, certainly in the second half, against Houston and what they can do down the stretch here. Are they, in fact, better, worse, or the same as what they were last year? Weigh in with your thoughts on that. Jaguars today, just getting rolling. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. I almost could have predicted this would have been the song. Not that I'm disappointed. I'm happy about that from Lauren Brooks.
Is this a birthday celebration?
No, this is better, the same, or worse. That's what we're doing today.
I know.
We're talking about birthday celebration.
Well, it was
happy
your birthday
Terrell
yesterday.
Owens. T.O.'s birthday was yesterday. Larry Bird's birthday was yesterday. Johnny Bench's birthday was
Why
yesterday.
Do you know all these birthdays from yesterday, Mike?
I'm a historian. An historian? A historian? I don't know. I study history.
That's right.
Sports history.
That's
what I do.
Big fan of World War II history and how we got into that
did you
whole
see
contest.
Was it yesterday? Was it on Sunday Night Football that they had some Pearl Harbor survivors aged between 90
they had them here.
And 102?
We had three at the stadium yesterday.
How old were they? They must have been.
I couldn't hear it from up in the booth, but I know they had them down in the field.
You know, I'm in the dungeon during the game, so I miss all the, you know, the military celebration that went on yesterday and all that stuff. So was not aware of that, but that's pretty cool. I guess they probably did that, I'm assuming, at NFL stadiums across the country then is probably what they did, because the NFL likes to drape itself in the American flag and pretend it's as American as it's an institution of the government, in fact, at times. Or it really does. I mean, it has done a wonderful marketing job tying itself to the U.S. military, don't you think?
No, it has.
I mean, with the flyovers and all the so. I mean, nothing wrong with honoring the troops. I'm all for that. But you would think that at times the NFL is a branch of the military with the shield, right? They're like, you know, where do they go? Do they go in there? Are they even with the Coast Guard? Or are they a step ahead? Because most people go, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, in whatever order you like.
Sure.
And then people also throw in Coast Guard and National Guard, which is totally unfair to those people who work hard to defend our shores.
Well, they do. It was cool yesterday. I know you were stuck down here in the dungeon, but it was pretty cool yesterday watching all the different tributes that they did. And I know they always honor a veteran of the game here in Jacksonville. They always have one. Yesterday, I think they had four or five different times that they did that, and they definitely had the three gentlemen down on the field that had survived the attack on Pearl Harbor that were here in Jacksonville for whatever reason. So, I mean, it was really cool to see that kind of stuff. The Military Appreciation Day is always a pretty cool weekend here in Jacksonville, and that it happened to fall on December 7th this particular year, with that being, you know, the date that Pearl Harbor was bombed and really was the main impetus to get us on the ground in Europe and in the Pacific in World War II. I mean, it was a neat day down at the stadium yesterday. The weather did not cooperate.
No.
At all.
The outcome of the
day.
Game did not cooperate.
No.
But a lot of other good stuff going on. By the way, brother, come on. Patrick Kavanaugh is the executive producer for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's not just the camera guy.
Hashtag supporting cast.
He is taking to Twitter.
Senior writers putting everyone in their place.
Express his umbrage with you right now.
Got a pecking order around here, Mike.
Oh, come on. At PCAP3, give him a follow on Twitter, by the way. He's got 1,834. I'd like to see that over 2,000 by the end of the week.
He gets over 2,000, we'll start calling him by his real title.
Is that right? Executive producer for the Jacksonville Jaguars, producing video for Jaguars.com and Jaguars Television. So says his Twitter feed.
Ooh.
So that's what I'm going with right there. And we looked at the so-called knuckleball slider curveball mix. I don't think there's it looked like a pass that went from Blake's hands to Cecil's chest.
Yeah, you got to catch
that. He has to catch.
Yeah, it
got to catch it.
Yeah.
As Tony said, you know, that's when he tried to kind of body catch that, you know,
right. Which may have been because it was coming with some spin. You know, who knows? But that's, you know.
It was both drops for yesterday. Cecil was kind of the same thing. He came out of the break the first time when the ball was on him. He had a chance to make that play, but look,
got to catch it. I mean,
the technicat, the little technical details of the game, and it's just where his hands were on those two plays. And he's been around too long to make those kind of mistakes. It's not a pass you catch like that. I knew that when I was running around in the yard. You don't catch that pass like that. And I know it gets on him fast, but man, I bet he was just all kinds of mad at himself.
Yeah.
Tony Smith coming in for a workout on Tuesday, by the way.
No.
Yeah, heard he's a good backyard pass catcher.
I saw what happened to Andre. I saw what happened to Clay. Yeah. I want no part of what's happening on that field.
I don't either, man.
I don't move quick enough to get out of anybody's
way. Oh, my goodness. I would be destroyed. I would be in such pain. Andre Johnson got ear-holed, basically. Scary.
And it was one of those that it's sort of how the league is right now. I don't know what either player should have done differently on the play. I don't really know what Telvin should have done differently on the play. But as he said after the game, you're going to get in right now in the league, you're going to get penalized for that hit.
Absolutely.
And I don't know
you're
really
responsible
what
if you hit him with the helmet. And right. I understand what you're saying. I guess, you know, they're trying to say safety over performance,
yep.
even, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I understand their position because they're being sued into this position. Right? I mean, that to me is what it's all about.
Well, they're being sued in position, and it is, you know, nobody's going to come in here and say that it's a bad thing to try to reduce helmet hits. It's just sort of the nature. I mean, it as soon as that hit happened, my Twitter feed blew up. Terrible call, terrible call, terrible call. It's not really a terrible call within the dynamics of the rules right now.
No.
It's a almost impossible situation, and Telvin said it best after the game. I saw the quote. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I think O'Halloran talked to him, and he said, you're going to get penalized for that hit. And when you watch it, I just don't know what he could have done differently, but you're going to get penalized for it.
But did you watch Sunday Night Football last night?
I was working.
There were two instances. I was not. I was that is work to me because I feel like we need to know the league, John.
That's fine. Go with that.
But who was the San Diego?
It was
receiver that got lit up.
It was Ladarius Green got lit up by Browner,
and he put his shoulder right about into his sternum.
Yeah,
right, and his head went to the side. The helmet didn't hit, as far as I can tell. The helmet went to the side, but it was such a violent shot that his head snapped back, landed on the ground. The ball pops up. The Patriots intercept it. Run it back for a touchdown. It's coming back because it was a targeting penalty.
Well, if you read the rule too, and I saw someone tweet this out last night with the rule change. Basically, the officials have been told if you're watching a play and you have any doubt about whether the hit was legal or not, you throw the flag.
The air on the side of caution.
Right. You throw the personal foul. Like when you watch that Browner hit in the replay. Look, he did everything that they're telling all these guys to do. He came in with the shoulder instead of his helmet. He hit him in the chest and shoulder area, not in the head. It was just such a violent hit that the official thought he saw something he didn't see, so he threw the flag. And for a league that's facing some of the things that they're facing, I don't blame them entirely for it. I know there's a lot of fans that are saying you're taking the physicality out of the game. To some degree, they are. The guys on defense have to play differently than they did.
No doubt.
You know, and I don't blame Telvin for making the play he did in that game yesterday either, because I don't know what he could have done differently except let Andre Johnson score. And he's not going to let that happen in that circumstance. You make the play, you
now
take the flag,
in that
and you
instance,
go on.
In the instance you're talking about, I didn't see the Browner play. You hope in that instance that the player doesn't get fined. Because
he shouldn't.
I don't know.
He really shouldn't. In my opinion, shouldn't have been a penalty. If you were to review that, you would say that's not a penalty.
You would hope there would be some sort of, you know, trigger to have intent, at least part of it, at the fine level, so you're not costing a guy, you know, like Telvin Smith, who's a fairly low paid guy in NFL terms. That kind of money when it's not an intention, you know.
That's
but I don't
a completely
know how
different story, by the way. I mean, those fines should be a percentage of what you make as opposed to a flat fee, because for Telvin Smith to get fined, when some of these guys get fined, is a much higher percentage of what he's taking home. Now, in the same game, and I understand what they're trying to do, and I don't think Ladarius Green was defenseless because he had bobbled it a couple times, and he can see Browner coming right at him.
Yeah, he looked at him.
He looked at him, and he was kind of just juggling the ball, so he went in there to pop it loose, and it popped up. Tony, you see the play Melvin Ingram when he rushed Sebastian Vollmer? He's coming off the edge as an outside linebacker. Vollmer's playing tackle. He hits him with his helmet right in the chin, basically. Yep. I mean, he just basically put his head down and drove his helmet right into the offensive lineman. Basically knocked him out. I mean, he fell down like he was knocked out on his feet. And they were praising him like crazy. Oh, my goodness, look how great a play this is by Melvin Ingram, who just comes in there like a battering ram and basically knocks out Sebastian Vollmer. So I can't figure it out, I guess, because he's deemed to not be vulnerable or a defenseless player at that point in time.
I guess they're saying he could get his hands on the shoulder pads and prevent
right,
the hit.
But still, I mean, he just wasn't quick enough, and he put that helmet right to his chin, and it was lights out. It was, I mean, so you've got that, to me, which was a much worse play, but that was praised, and it was completely legal. There was never any hint that the flag would come down. And then you've got the other play that's going the other way. It's becoming a difficult game to referee these days,
I think. And to play. I mean, you know, when defensive players sort of complain about, you know, the line moving, so to speak, and the rules sort of changing under their feet, I think the league's doing whatever it can to not have that be the case and try to be as clear as possible, but you can see why defensive players feel that way.
All right, 641-1010, the phone number. Better, the same, or worse? That's what we're asking about your Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll go around the table here and talk about that amongst ourselves here in a moment as well. But in the meantime, if you'd like to get on board, that's the way to do it. 641-1010. If you want to talk specifically about yesterday's game, you're certainly welcome to do that as well, or really anything going on in the National Football League. Let's start with Dave this morning on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. What's going on?
Look here. As far as the defense, I think the defensive line is better. As far as defensive backs, it's a question mark. As far as the offense, our offensive line sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, J.J. Watts is bad to the bone, but you know, if it's not Sam Young this week, all the other weeks, it's been Luke Jokel. I think we've lost out on a draft choice on Luke Jokel. I think we went the wrong way with him. I think we have good running backs, Tony Gearhart and Denard Robinson. The only problem is you've got to have holes that you can run up. I mean, you've got to open the holes for the running backs, and the quarterback don't have no time to throw the ball. As far as all offense is an F, and I'll probably give a B minus to the defense.
So overall, top to bottom, the entire team, better, worse, or the same compared to this point last year?
If I do say anything, it'd be just a little bit better than last year.
All right, thank you, Dave. I appreciate the call.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, you said, and I don't want to. You tell me. I mean, you seem very definitive. I asked you before the show. I said better, same, or worse, and you said,
well,
definitely better.
I would say they're better because, again, if you think back to last year, there were. When they played teams that were in it and that were still fighting for something, there were very few instances where you came even out of the first half saying, yeah, they had a chance. This year, more often than not after games, we're talking about what went wrong and what could have been different to decide the outcome. In the first half yesterday, close, and then you have one drive and a turnover. You can point to one key point that sort of turned the game around. So in that sense, I certainly think their bottom line is better. It's not going to show in the win total, it doesn't look like, but there's more of a foundation. You can see them doing things a little better than they were this time last year.
I think the potential is there for them to be better, but the raw data to me indicates it's a push. I look at, and I know, understand statistics aren't the end all be all, but this year they've scored 199 points, and I'm throwing out, did the defense score?
Right.
The Jaguars have scored 199 points. Last year they scored 201. It's identical, right? 2 points, whatever the difference is. This year they've allowed 356s through 13 games. At the same point last year, 372. So basically two fewer touchdowns over the span of 13 games. Statistically, I don't think that's significant,
right.
But a little bit better. I call it a wash across the board in terms of average margin of victory.
I think we both agree on defense. since the first month of this season.
The pass rush is certainly better.
The point stat is certainly skewed by weeks 2 and 3, 40 against Washington, 40 against the Colts. Since that point, the defense has been better than it was
last year. That case, though? The overall number is going to be skewed by the first 8 games last year, right? I mean, the first half of the season, because they were losing every game by double digits.
That's the only thing you do. You do numbers what you want. I can't argue that the defense was better last year than it is this year.
I would agree.
To me, there's no question it's better.
I'm talking about, though, the total body work, because the results on the field are points allowed, very similar. They've lost 9 now by double figures. They lost 10 all of last year. So, you know, you're in that same ballpark. And I would agree. It cosmetically, it certainly, and probably realistically, they do look to be more competitive, more weeks than they did last year. So if you want to use that as an indicator, certainly better. But I think it's very close.
No, I mean, and I can't sit here and argue vehemently that it's not a push. But I think the potential part that you mentioned is significant. This offense, whatever it was doing late last year, was going to be dramatically different. So there was going to be nothing to build off of what happened late last year. You know, this year there's no question most of this offense is going to be the same and counting on improvement. So at least you're getting experience to build toward next year.
That rings very false
on a Monday when you're 2-11.
And because, you know, we've had some of the feedback have been, hey, all we care about is wins and losses.
Yep.
You know, other people.
Which is fair.
It's funny. One tweet, I mean, literally back-to-back tweets, I got one that said, fans, all we care about is wins and losses, so we're worse than we were last year. The very next guy, who I assume is a fan, said, we're absolutely better than we were last year. So I don't think there's one clear-cut answer. That's why we're trying to gauge your opinion today.
And I think, look, when you're looking at the points scored against points against those two statistics, I understand you're not talking about, well, we didn't want to talk about how many points the defense has scored for the offense, that kind of thing. But I think those are about even this year compared to last year. I mean, I know the Tennessee game last year, it was the defense scoring that won them their first game. I think those things are about even between 2013 and 2014. I don't remember 4 or 5 pick sixes last year. I think the defense is significantly better than those numbers even indicate this season for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because there have been times where the offense is just giving away, handing away points for this team.
And that may be fine. And
that goes against the offense, too.
Right. The offense may be worse.
Right.
And which, that's what I'm talking about. The whole sum total of the whole thing, I would grant you, certainly the pass rush is light years improved from what it was last year. But offensively,
you can go back to that stretch. They gave up 17 against Pittsburgh. One of those was a pick six. 16 points against Tennessee. That's a good defensive ball game. 6 against Cleveland. 27 against Miami with 2 pick sixes. I mean, that is a
great stretch.
They were never close to that last year.
I can also give you a good 4-week stretch where the Jags had a running game this year. Okay, so and the rest of the time it wasn't so good. We got to take a timeout. We'll continue this discussion. Better, the same, or worse as far as the Jags compared to this point last year? 6-4-1, 10-10. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, what do we got here? My Warren Brooks, Metallica, Better Than You. John's bobbing his head over there.
I knew this
head
one.
Banging. Over there a little bit. Now I know.
Who, me?
Yes.
Not a Metallica guy.
Not a Metallica guy. You just ruined the illusion I had created of you as a rocker.
I missed that era. I'm too old.
Yeah, I didn't miss that era, but I'm not a Metallica guy either. Tony's tapping his thumb.
Oh, I love Metallica.
Big Metallica fan.
It's one of my 10 favorite bands of all time.
Really?
Really.
They would not be one of my 100 favorite bands of all time, but that's all right. It's America, Tony.
I know.
God bless us for having difference of opinion on this. got this one in from Paul at Paul the Biz. They're better this year's version, and it's not close. The 2013 team was a 0-1 win caliber team that got a few lucky bounces. Then I would ask you, what is this team? Are they a 2-win caliber team? Because that's where they're tracking right now. Mm-hmm. What are they? If you're saying they are a 0-1 win caliber team, got a few lucky bounces, is this year a 4-5 win caliber team who's gotten unlucky? I don't feel like the Jags have had, a lack of luck this year. You know what I mean? It's not like I don't feel like they were snake bit. I mean, you can look at the Tennessee game. They get the field goal blocked. Don't guarantee it's going to go in.
That's 55 yards.
It's a long, right? It's a long field goal, and I mean that's so.
And that was a game that I don't think after that game anybody was walking around saying, "Boy, that was one that they absolutely should have positively won." It would have been a good win, but it wasn't one where you felt like they dominated the whole game.
Correct.
So.
Correct. All right, let's go to the phone, see what the peeps think. 641-1010, thanks for holding on. Youssef, you are up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
What's going on, you?
Right. What's up, Youssef?
Hey, man, yesterday, the 4th-and-1, they did not review it. I guarantee you if they did, Blake made that. All right? That's one point. They just let it fly by. They didn't care about it. Okay, they had a 4th-and-inches. They decided to kick the field goal. You know, where's the heart? So that kind of put me at the edge. Okay, my third issue. We were driving down the field. Yes, we got seconds on the board before halftime. Let's try to get every possible point that we can in any possible situation. Points. All that regrouping and going back into the huddle. Let's get it now. You had a week to regroup and a week to think about it. And so that's where I'm coming at. And on top of that, let's give these rookies some slack. You already realize that they're the youngest team in the NFL. You already know that they're rebuilding, and yes, they're way better than last year. We got a quarterback; he's learning. He got some attributes. We got a running back. We got the defense is just winning and beating the offense over and over again. I mean, good teams that they're shutting them down. You know, and it's plenty of times this year we had chances to win. You know, fumbled with Ace Sanders. You know, a lot of those things that happen, and I feel like we're way better than, and we had a lot more opportunities to win this year than last year.
All right, thank you, Youssef. I mean, to me, there's a difference between potentially better and better. At this moment, I mean, look, if Blake Bortles could turn out to be top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and then you're way better, and then we're not even having these kind of conversations, but it's not where they are right now. I'm not saying I understand.
There's a legitimate reason to feel like they're in better shape going forward, but I get your point that on the field, results-wise, you know, that's the old argument. If your wins aren't more, then you're not better, and I understand that school of thought.
And
I would say
they're
better
strictly on the win total,
right?
Either just, you know, a combination of factors. But I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I mean I said all along during the offseason that I thought they could be better, not have the same record, or not have a significantly better record.
Sure.
And it was because the season last year they were 4-12, but you felt like they were much closer if you looked at how they won those games. Like they were much closer to being 1-15 than they were to being 10-6, if you follow. I mean, they were much closer to losing those games that they won. And there weren't a whole lot of games where you looked at and went, oh, man, they were a whisker away from – they won just about every time they had a snowball's chance, right?
Okay.
Last year. So I thought they could improve and be more competitive against better teams, which is the gauge that you want, and so I have a better record. And that's sort of how it's played out. That doesn't satisfy anybody. But I think they're better, and I think they're moving in the right direction. But it's hard to prove that, and that's your point.
Well, I guess I would look at it this year and say, okay, do you say that they should have won any of the games that they lost by double figures? Even go back to the Philly game. If you outscore them 17-0 in the first half, that's great. But what did they give up, 33 in the second half in that game?
They should win that game.
34?
I mean, that if you're a team.
I understand that, Tony, but they're also a team that was capable of giving up 34 points and a half at the same time, and they did, and the offense did nothing. So the end result is they lost by 17 points. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I wouldn't say there were games they should have, but I will say there have been a lot more games where they had significant stretches where they looked good. And as opposed to last year, there weren't very many games where there were significant stretches where you said, boy, they look pretty good.
Well, I think the
now,
point you're making
that's
is
a little something to build on. But it's again, we're sitting here on a Monday where we're talking about 2-11. So it's not enough yet.
And I think the point you're making is that last year in a game like that against Philadelphia, they won because that was a game they had a chance to win in. And right. the game this year against Pittsburgh, that's a game that last year they won because they had any chance to right. be in it. Against Miami, that's a game they won because they were in that ball game. And this year, those are games that they've let slip away. If you want to hold that against them, you can. I think it is fair.
I think you were just looking at it. I'm not trying right. to make the argument and then find the evidence to support it. Let's look at all the evidence, and there are different ways you can look at this.
Sure.
And in the end, it doesn't really matter. Their record's going to be what their record is. I look at Philly. Philly's not a team that they should beat. So maybe you look at that first half and say, wow, you know, we've seen at times they're capable of playing over their heads maybe a little bit, right? And
well, you say that, but the defense played extraordinarily well against Philadelphia.
Yes, they did for a half. And they played extraordinarily poorly. They gave up 34 points right. in the second half.
Right. Well,
one half of football.
Yeah.
20, right.
right.
With the one.
And I guess that's my point, is that there have been more stretches where the defense has played like that.
They've had more halves like that this
right.
year. The first half this week was fine.
Right.
You know, the first half against Indy.
And that's what's so frustrating. If there was a theme in the Ozone inbox this week, it was, why can't we see four quarters?
And that,
what happens? And that's a legitimate...
A totally legitimate question.
I don't really have the answer to that. The only answer I have is
we need to learn how to win.
And people are tired of hearing me say... talk about youth. So here we go.
Let's go to Christian up next here on 1010XL. Hi, Christian. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
So from my perspective, I think the Jaguars are, I won't say a lot better, but I do believe that they're better this season. I think one thing that doesn't really get considered much at all is the upside. You're looking at a very young team that has a lot of potential going forward. And it appears to me that this season they're in a lot more games, and they're competing with guys, with teams that are a lot better caliber than they were last year. I mean, if you look at them, they have to play the AFC North and the NFC East. I think you're looking at the AFC North with what the worst record is, 7-5 or something along those lines, and you got in the East and the NFC East, you got the Cowboys and the Eagles who are doing pretty good this year. And I remember looking at the Jaguars prior to, looking at the schedule prior to coming into the season and thinking, man, they're going to have a tough time. And the other thing is, when you have a young team, you expect them to play really good and then maybe not so good. And you may see that in one game. I think that's a sign that they are a little bit more competitive than they were last year. And so I expect good things from them going forward.
All right. Hey, Christian, appreciate it, man. I don't think it's an invalid opinion, obviously, to have. And if you want to say they're better because we feel the core base of talent to grow from, they're better situated, fine. I'm thinking more of just on the field when they line up.
Situated would be the word I use. I can't argue your point on this year. I would definitely say they're better situated. I like that word, situated.
Yeah, they're situated.
It's fun to say, Tony.
641-1010. Words that are fun to say. Let's go to Dave next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
I had just a quick observation and then a question for you. My observation is that it's getting to a point now where I'm getting really tired of rooting for a team that just isn't there by the third quarter. I see improvement on the defensive line, but I don't really see improvement anywhere else. And, my question for you is now that technically our offseason has started, does that mean that Jacksonville's mathematically eliminated from the playoffs next year?
not technically, but and maybe not even realistically. Who knows? No, it does not. So yeah. There you have it. It was a good one, though.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. You all right over there? Did I shock you?
Oh, wow.
Was that loud?
It's that radio voice coming through.
John says, you throw a headset on, you got to talk loud like nobody can hear you, okay? I'm loud, John. You're just discovering this now.
JT fell out of his chair.
I'm jolting. I tell you what, December 1st, 1991, Miami quarterback Dan Marino set an NFL record going over 3,000 passing yards for the eighth time in his career. I've got to believe that record's been shattered.
It feels very antiquated now, doesn't it?
Right. What does Peyton have to be on right
it's
now?
It's a nice little record.
Peyton's in they said last night if he finishes out the season with touchdown passes in every game, he'll break. Remember, it was the Unitas' record forever at 47 right. games, which I was surprised at how long that took to be broken. Drew Brees took it over. He's got it at 54, and then Tom Brady got to 52 and had it snapped.
Is Peyton that close?
Peyton's at like at 51, something like that, so he can break that record. Yeah. He's got a couple records.
I know Peyton's gone for 3,000 every year of his career that he's been healthy, so I mean, I assume that's more than eight.
But he hadn't done that by December 1st, 1991, and that's why that happened on this date in football history, presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while giving you unsurpassed customer service. They'll give you a professional free estimate at your convenience. Call 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. So let's table the Honda drive around the NFL for a moment. Let's welcome in JT Thomas of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who's going to score more touchdowns this year, you or J.J. Watt, huh?
Man, you know what? That's a good conversation to be in, man. I've just been very fortunate, man, being able to ball hawk and play hard, and that ball just bouncing my way, man. I'm loving it.
How big was that moment for you guys in that football game? It is 21-3. Your offense gets the ball. They put together some plays, but ultimately have to punt it away. And to go from that where seemingly nothing's going right, and then boom, we're right back in this football game.
I mean, everyone knows that football is a game of momentum, you know, and for us to give our offense that boost they needed at the time, to give the fans that boost they needed to get back into the game and to know, hey, we're still here, we're still fighting. And that's the culture of everyone that's in this building, man. You know, everyone's buying in, everyone's playing hard down in and down out. Now, you can't expect anything less from our defense and everyone else on our football team.
Now, you said something interesting after the game, that on the play where you scored, you were a little surprised, and you used the word fiddling around, which I was surprised to hear you say, because that's a word my mom used to say when I was about 7 years old. But elaborate on that a little bit. Were you surprised that they weren't more secure with the ball, or that they weren't worried about the defense?
Well yeah. I mean, I'd like to think that we were a pretty stingy defense, very opportunistic. You know, we're always around the ball. You know, and that's something that we take pride in here. You know, being able to create turnovers and give our offense opportunities. And I was just kind of surprised that, you know, people were kind of just not urgent about getting on the ball down there, man. And I just hopped on top of it, man. Since Derek caused so much commotion down there, the ball was under his leg. You know, he's knocking people over. He's a big boy now. You know, so I was able to be able to jump in there and get on top of it, man. Very fortunate.
Can we get some Derek to the Pro Bowl is the question. He's not going to get the recognition in this market with the record of the team. That guy's played like a Pro Bowler this year.
I tell you what, man. I know our whole defensive line as a unit, man, they're just a great unit, man. You know, but since Derek, he's been playing at another level. You know, to watch him work on the inside has truly been a treat for me to be able to watch right behind him. You know, quarterbacks just don't have the time to elude him.
And, you know, to play football 101 a little bit on the day after a victory, talk about what Roy Miller does for you when you're playing behind him. Because I know a lot of guys credit him. The run defense, for the most part, has been pretty good. And he's a big reason for it, isn't he?
He controls the line of scrimmage. You know, a lot of times I'm stacked right behind Roy Miller. And, you know, he's a leader on and off the field. You know, and on game day, you know, he's committed to holding his own down there in that interior line. You know, and so are the other guys on the defensive lineman. They're a nasty group. You know, you got Red Bryant, Roy Miller, and then you got Sin-Derek in there. Clemens coming up. I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot of talent on defensive line. And, you know, and we know that. You know, so we just piggyback off of their energy, and they kind of run the show for the most part.
When the difference in the defense from 21-0 to after that. Sin-Derek said something after the game where it was really just a matter of you had to hold the point of attack a little bit. You had to stop the run a little better. Is that just something where you guys get together on the sideline and say, this has to happen?
Well, I just think we're to a point now that we've been through so much as a team is that, you know, we know who we are. Mm-hmm. And we knew that first half that wasn't Jaguar football. That wasn't Jaguar defense. That wasn't us. And now for us to kind of, you know, to stay the course, man, just says a lot about everyone in the building, says a lot about our team, man. And Gus at halftime, man, he came in and he really steadied the ship, you know, and that was a really cool thing to be a part of, man, for him to come in there and kind of settle us down, you know, and get us back focused. You know, and that's what we did. We came out the second half, man. He called it right out. You know, he said what we'd come out and do. Now, we did it. It was a cool thing to be a part of.
I think it was Sinderek after the game who said that you guys gave Coach basically a game ball for not giving up on you guys, despite the record of the team that still believing in you the whole way. He so downplayed it after the game. You know, he's got the ball. He doesn't want to take any credit for anything. And Jeff Lagerman asked him on the post-game show, is that the game ball? Did you just get a game ball? He goes, man, this, he didn't know what to say. He's like, this is kind of for the whole team. The team earned this. And, that's just, I guess that's just how he is.
And that's so Gus. You know what I mean? And everyone in our building, man, this is a very selfless organization. And I think that's partly because of where we're at right now. All we have is us and our fans. You know, and that's who we play for. We play for each other, we play for the coaches, and we play for the fans. And now we continue to build up on our foundation, man. I think we have a chance to be a really good ball club.
What about Telvin the last couple weeks? Plugging that guy in. He's going to lead the league in tackles, I think, in this last month of the season.
Well, and the cool thing about Telvin is, you know, a lot of his play right now is off a natural instinct, and that says a lot about him as a player. You know, and once he really, really gets a chance to really absorb the defense over this next spring and the next couple of years, man, he's just going to be a heck of a player, man. I'd be surprised if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year this year.
Talk about the linebacker core a little bit. Injuries with Paz going out, Dakota getting released. It seems like, though, that right now you guys have kind of found a group that you're confident in with you three.
Well, with all the movement that's been going on in our room, man, it's really built a lot of character in our room. Guys have really stepped up to the plate, man. It's a really cool thing to be a part of, man. And Puzz, you know, we have a guy like Puzz who's always in the room, man, just really keeping us focused. You know what I mean? And we understand that, hey, we got to play for each other, man. Guys, you know, have a guy go down here. Guys got to step up, you know, and that's a really cool thing to be a part of.
Well, hopefully, go ahead, John.
I'm good.
Are you good? All right. I didn't know if you're.
You might just don't talk too loud.
Slide one more. You sure about that? Just, I'm going to be loud.
Just don't scare me.
I'm going to be loud, John. That's my nature. JT, hopefully for you guys, several more of these, you know, down the stretch, and you have a nice springboard to go into the off season. But for this week, we'll just take the one yesterday. You know, biggest comeback in team history. First time you guys have scored two defensive touchdowns, one for you, one for Aaron Colvin. And congrats on getting the win. And makes Monday and Tuesday a little bit easier on you, doesn't it?
Of course, man. And like I say, man, just, you know, this win, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins. You know, the players, the coaches, we feel it. You know what I mean? Because we put in so much work week in and week out. It's hard to come out and take a L, you know, or you not get the results that you might quite like to have. And now for all our hard work, you know, be able to come out with that W, man, it feels good. It feels great.
No doubt.
We won't revel in it. You know, we'll take a day or so.
A little smidge.
Yeah. And we'll get refocused and get ready for our next opponent.
So you'll still eat crumbs, but there'll be bigger crumbs this week, right?
Gotta eat crumbs, man. Gotta eat crumbs.
Hey, message to Ryan Fitzpatrick. You better not fiddle around with that football next week because they're coming for you. All right. Hey, JT, great job, man. Enjoy the next couple days and get healed up and ready to roll against Houston next week.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Good job, man. Thanks, yesterday, there you go. JT Thomas really got it rolling with that touchdown, that fumble recovery that kind of set things back in the right direction, I think, for Jacksonville. To me, I called it the play of the game yesterday in the postgame. You could have pointed to a number of things. Certainly Aaron Colvin's play was huge. The run by Blake Bortles on the field goal drive. There are a lot of big moments, but that, I mean, I literally walked out of the room, went down the hallway for a second, came back, and JP told me to go away. Because whatever you did, just go do that again, because they just scored in the brief.
And people
instance.
Tell you that all the time, but that was
all
special.
The time. But this all time, right. He meant it for a reason other than I was annoying to him. This morning, what did you tell me this morning? She said something. I thought she said, man, it smells, and then she took a step away from me. What did you say?
I said, I have to sneeze, and you thought I said something stinks, and you said, it's not me.
Oh, man, it stinks, and then she took a step away from me, and so
I was trying to be polite.
No, I hear you.
I mean, it went from as bleak as it could be, John, 21-3. Offense gets it coming out of the second half. If we go down and score, we're in this game. And, of course, they don't. They punt it away, and you're like, here we go.
Well, that's what you got to have for a comeback. You've got to have a couple of plays that, you know, shorten the time frame that it takes to score. It's hard to come back with 7-8 minute drives, and frankly, for this offense, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of 7 or 8 minute drives right now. So you've got to have some things happen that you don't expect, and they had two of those yesterday. They had the two defensive touchdowns that, you know, shortened the time that it took to score and shortened the number of plays that were needed. They didn't have to have long drives. They just got it quickly.
Thanks to JT Thomas for stopping by. And now we're bringing you the Honda Drive Around the NFL.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Johnny Manziel saw significant game action with the Cleveland Browns yesterday for the first time. He went 5-for-8 for 63 yards and rushed for a touchdown in the Browns' 26-10 loss to the Bills. Browns head coach Mike Pettine after the game said that the door is definitely open for there to be a change at quarterback, which sounds an awful lot like Manziel may be playing this weekend against the Colts or not for the Browns' sake. Hope he clears that up today, considering the Browns 7-5 right now, guys, in the middle of a divisional race, as well as fighting for a wild card spot in the AFC. I doubt they want to deal with the same kind of distractions that their coach had a hand in creating during the team's preseason quarterback carousel. The Houston Texans and all-world defensive end J.J. Watt will be here in Jacksonville on Sunday. The Texans improved to 6-6 on the season with a decisive win over Tennessee yesterday. Check out the stat line, though, for J.J. Watt in the game. 3 tackles with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, 6 quarterback hits, a forced fumble and fumble recovery on one of those sacks, and he caught his 3rd touchdown pass of the season, giving JJ 5 total TDs on the year. According to ESPN Stats and Info, Watt is the first defensive lineman since 1944 to score 5 touchdowns in a season. He's the first defensive player, regardless of position, to score 6 touchdowns in a season since Joe Golding in 1948,
love Joe Golden,
who scored 4
I was
receiving
say
touchdowns.
Joe
classic.
And he had two pick sixes with the Boston Yanks in 1948.
That just seems wrong
there
that there's such a thing called the Boston Yanks.
He played for the New York Yankees and the Boston Yanks. I looked it up.
How about that?
Yeah.
Joe Golden. Wow. That could have qualified as this date in football history on top of all that. J.J.
Watt.
You
didn't just roll out of the rack and stop Joe Golden.
Oh, you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, the game plans were devised around Joe Golden.
You had to account for him.
Yeah, absolutely had to account for this guy. He'd score a touchdown now.
Yeah,
he'd score a half dozen on you in a heartbeat. J.J. Watt, Zach Ertz owners, Tony, I think are looking for J.J. Watt to get tight end eligibility right now in fantasy leagues.
You ain't kidding.
Zach Ertz put up the goose egg this week. By the way, so did Jimmy Graham. But Jimmy Graham didn't have a pass thrown his way by Drew Brees as he threw for 5 touchdowns yesterday as New Orleans went into Pittsburgh and won that football game. All right, 641-1010 is the numbers. DJ on the line, Lauren, or am I doing that coming up? All right, let's go to DJ. And we'll take a break after that and get more of your calls in if you're apt to call. DJ, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys, man. A good win for the Jags. And I like that type of win because we see that type of win in the NFL every week. And it's just like, you know, one of those ugly type of wins, you know, as far as like, you know, trying to, you know, decipher who did what or what play. We know the offense played bad. The offensive line still plays bad. But it was good to see those ugly, game-changing type of wins that the Jaguars needed so badly. So I just want to, you know, tip my hat to the players, man, and keep it going, man. Just keep winning, whatever, at all costs, you know, right now.
I don't know, he said it's ugly. That's about the most beautiful thing I've seen in a long time.
The result was beautiful. I understand exactly the point
he's
making.
Saying.
Look at, and we brought the case to San Diego yesterday. Baltimore dominated them for much of the day. Lived in the red zone, settled for a lot of field goals, still had a comfortable lead for a large portion of that game. And in the last minute, San Diego went ahead and won the football game. And in a couple weeks, it's all anyone's going to care about. They don't care how you got there. Mistakes happen, and we'll talk about some of those coming up. Gus Bradley's decision to go for it. He says it wasn't a mistake to go for 2 instead of kicking the extra point with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. We can discuss that. The offensive line play. Certainly there are holes that exist on this football team that they're not firing on all cylinders. But
plenty of time to talk about.
You're rarely going to have a team fire on all cylinders. And, I mean, yeah, I'm sure Green Bay, in beating New England yesterday, made a couple of plays they'd like to have back.
Right.
You know? So that's just the nature of football. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, the senior writer for Jaguars.com, along with Fat Tony here on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Hey, keep it down, guys, if you could, please. I'm trying to do some work here. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today.
I don't like this.
A little foreigner for
I don't like it at all.
Feels like the first time, John. You know,
I was there when they played this in the Coliseum in 78.
Were you?
I was there as a little seventh grader from Episcopal.
I was going to say, you old enough to have been to the concert in 1978?
Yep. Saw the Cars open for Foreigner in the Coliseum.
I was never a big Cars fan.
Oh, I was, baby.
You know, just, I don't know. They're too...
good.
Oh, they're just too, I don't know, bubblegummy or something.
The Cars.
Yeah, the Cars. I mean, they're okay. I mean, they're not just... Anyway. Let's not go down that road, man. Let's not go down that road. It's Victory Monday, John. Can't we all get along here? Let's get a couple phone calls in, but we do have to talk about a few of the issues we saw yesterday. But hey, the main takeaway, you scored more points than the Giants.
And my issue is 25-24 is my issue.
25-24. You know who's got an issue? All those Giant fans who showed up yesterday.
Like Tony.
That's right.
Guys like me.
That was wrong.
That's the issue.
Guys like you, Tony. You are the issue. Come on. I know. I'm sure Shot appreciates their financial support for coming through the turnstiles and all the concessions that they purchased, the parking and everything that goes along with it. Obviously,
the they're
tickets,
one of the teams that's going to put people in the stands no matter where they play.
They have absolutely have a national following, and I'm glad they all went home sad and in shock and disbelief. How could this have happened to our squad? Fine, you know.
Sure.
Look, Coughlin said it after the game. He said, we would have been better off taking a knee on every play in the second half. And he's actually right, I think. Had they just went knee, run the clock down as far as they could, down to the final few seconds of the play clock, take a knee, and force the offense to drive the field three times and score touchdowns, I doubt they would have been able to do it. Now, you don't operate a football game like that because you'll be second-guessed forever.
I'll say this about it. There were opportunities for big plays to be made throughout the entire day for that Jaguars offense. There were gaping holes in that Giants defense all afternoon long, and the Jags were so close to making a lot of plays. I mean, I can remember four plays just off the top of my head, including in the first quarter, their second drive after they go three and out. They have the false start, so it's first and 15, and the safeties come down on the play. Cecil Shorts is behind his man, and the ball is overthrown by a yard. And if he catches that, that's probably a 25-30-yard play. They had a throw on a corner route to Hearns where he was open. It was not an easy throw, but it's one we've seen Blake make, as Jeff Logman described it, those drops-in-the-bucket-type throws that he's been so good at that he missed by a yard or two. We saw him miss a wide-open Clay Harbor. We saw the third and 15. I talked to Mike about this when I got in here yesterday. I'm looking forward to getting the all 22 and taking a look at the play again. When he stared down, I think it was Hearns on the play on the right side and threw into triple coverage, and Cecil had run by his man, was streaking into the end zone if he gets the ball on that play. Those opportunities being there for that offense is why I never felt like they were really out of that football game, because the Giants were going to give that Jags offense opportunities every time they came on the field to make big plays. They had to start hitting them. They did it on two drives. And because of what the defense did, it was good enough to give them a win.
All right, 641-1010, let's let you weigh in. Let's go to Brian next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I just want to say it's really good to win. Obviously feeling good this Monday morning. And a couple comments, a question and a comment. Start off, I want to say it looks like the D is back in Duval with our defense. And secondly, in your opinion, with Blake, are we at a where in his development, where is he with his passing, where he can pass the ball where the receiver's gonna be instead of looking in the timing part of it? You know, it seems like he's jamming it into bad places, throwing it into bad spots. Are the receivers on the wrong page? Is Blake on the wrong page? What, you know, throwing it to where the receiver's gonna be, I guess is what I'm trying to look at.
I know what you're saying. Is he anticipating throws instead of just throwing to a stationary target? I thought, you know, where he hit Marquise Lee on that nice slant. play. I mean, certainly the one where he threw the touchdown to Marquise Lee, that's the definition of throwing it where the guy's going to be. When you throw it on to a guy running on a full sprint and he catches it in the end zone.
I think you're seeing it a little more. I don't think you're seeing it as much as you need to see it over the long run. And I think the answer would be, that's one of those things, as these guys work more and more together, I think you'll see that more. I mean, that's one of the things, when everybody has never worked together before, that you're not going to see as much as you would like. That's rookie growth.
You pointed out on Jaguars.com that mechanics need to be tightened up a little with him right now. And then, look, he's a guy that has had a lot thrown at him. Not every rookie quarterback has a lot thrown at them, but for the most part, we think he's handled it well mentally. Mm-hmm. Is he going to have some backsliding into some bad habits or some issues? Yeah, he's a rookie quarterback. Right. But I thought yesterday, even before they started really rolling the pocket a lot, which I thought started to wake up that offense late in the first half, I thought he was more nimble in the pocket just when pressure was there, as opposed to just either getting it away or having the pocket collapse on him.
It sounds strange. I thought he was working harder to play looser, if you will. I mean, and
he was playing looser. Yeah. I don't know. I think
like in the second half, there were a couple of times where he was under a lot of pressure and he was trying to move away. He was trying to get back. It looked like he was trying to get back to that place that he was in the preseason, early in the season. And when you're under as much pressure as he was in the third quarter, it's hard. I mean, like, he was moving. There were a couple of plays in a row where he made two guys miss, and the third guy got him, and you were just like, man, just give him a little bit of time and let him do that. But he is conscious of trying to get back to that, looseness, playing free and easy. That's not always easy when things aren't going right.
Yeah, I honestly think you could probably argue it's his best game because of the pressure that he was under, the fact that he didn't turn it over, and the fact that he delivered when he absolutely had to deliver to win a football game for the first time.
You mentioned the biggest plays of the game. One that shouldn't be overlooked: your second and 15, you've had a penalty, you've had an incomplete pass on that last drive, and he throws a slant to Marquise Lee, and they're out of it, and all of a sudden the drive gets started. How many times with Blake in the past couple of years have we seen that second and 15 be an incompletion,
right,
and your third and 15, and you're off the field, and the game's over? That was a big play, because in that situation, you're supposed to sort of get that play. Fans who watch a lot of the NFL see quarterbacks get that play all the time. It was big for Marquise and Blake to be the two guys who hit that play at that point. 22 yards on second and 15. If that's third and even two on the next play, you're in a different situation. Big play.
Let's go to Eddie next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Eddie.
Okay, how y'all doing this morning?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Good, good. Well, it was a good game. Glad to see the win and all, but I have a problem with our left tackle. I know they had an awesome defensive end in there, but it's like almost every game. And yesterday he got bull rushed. He got manhandled yesterday. Do you think it was a loss of us getting him on the first draft pick?
Well, I don't want to characterize it as anything is final in any way, shape, or form, but when you take a guy second overall in the draft, you expect to not have to notice him as much when he's an offensive lineman, right? I mean, clearly, to me, my opinion, Luke Jokel has not played like the second overall pick in the draft should play.
That's probably fair.
After 2 years. I realize he's played about a year.
Right.
But
I also think it's time to write him off yet, and I don't think he's played as poorly as perhaps people think. But the reality is that position, if you make one mistake, you're going to get...
Right, and as Tony Boselli and Jeff Logman were calling the game, they're describing the two holding calls as questionable, one of them particularly ticky-tack. You go back and look, he had a fistful of Jason Pierre-Paul's jersey, and it doesn't have to hold it and yank him to the ground.
Yeah, there was one, I'm sure it's the one you're talking about, where you looked at it and you went, you can't not call it.
Right, I mean, especially when you see when the run's going outside left and Pierre-Paul's trying to get to the outside left and Jokel's got his left hand and got a fistful of jersey or the chest area, you're going to get that call if the referee happens
to
see
it. I get with Jokel that he's not playing as well as you'd expect. I also think there's people expect him to be absolutely put him on the outside there and always forget about it. I don't know there's that many left tackles who do that anymore. So I'm not ready to say that he's a washout, that he's a bust. I think he's going to be okay, but he's got to get better.
But I think it's fair to question.
Sure.
If you're a fan or a member of the media, well, if that's the case with left tackle, if you're not going to get that guy,
right,
should that high of a pick? And I understand that you've got to take what's available in the draft based on the talent, but you know, clearly there are guys right now that are making bigger impacts, and Luke Jokela is now that starts a whole stream of the butterfly effect, right?
Sure.
I mean, then do you re-sign Eugene Monroe if you didn't go that route? Who else did you draft? Let's say you drafted, you know, with perfect hindsight, you drafted a guy like Sheldon Richardson. Okay, well, he and Cedric Marks are the same player, right? What do you get? You know what I mean? So there are a lot of what ifs that can go into it. But I agree with the point from Eddie that Luke Jokel, to me, is not playing like the second pick in the draft should. Granted that he's really a full year into his career, mm-hmm. because he played four games. He played those on the right side, then played part of a game on the left side. He's played basically one full season, but doesn't mean he can't get there.
Right.
But, you know, look, when you give up seven sacks, John, when your leading tailback has 44 yards, Blake Bortles had 60-something yards, offensive line didn't have a great day. It's facts don't matter.
It's an issue, and it's going to be very interesting to see what they do about that position, or meaning overall, not left tackle, but overall on the offensive line, because they've got some guys they like, but at some point that group's got to perform better. Seven sacks and the quarterback running for his life a lot can't happen.
Let's go to Terrence next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Terrence.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike. Hey, Luke Jokela's going to be all right. It's really his rookie year. So give him a year just like y'all giving Blake a year. And I'm glad they didn't box Blake up this time, too, Mike. They let him play. They were boxing him up the last couple of games. And, Mike, but I want to also say, you know what the beautiful part of the football game is?
What's that, Terrence?
Is when the ball is out on the ground, it's loose, and everybody, that's the most beautiful part of the game. That's better than the interception. And I just wanted to get your take on that. So we need to get more loose balls out there and take those, and, you know, get those turnovers. That's great.
Right. All right. Thank you, Terrence. You know, I don't know if it's the best part. It's an exciting part, certainly, when you're caught, the team causing the havoc. It's not so exciting when it's bouncing around and your quarterback's got to try to reach into the pile and risk his arm getting snapped in half to recover that. But I don't know how much more they could have the ball out on the ground the last couple games, John. 8 fumbles, 6 recoveries, 9 sacks.
That's about as much. And again, I always go back to, given the fact that they have not been playing with leads, that's about as much havoc as it's fair to expect from a defensive front linebacker, wherever they're getting it from. I can't kind of harp on that point enough, that usually when you get that kind of pressure, that kind of, you know, looseness offensively, it's when the offense is in bad situations. Last couple of weeks, they've been doing this trailing, which is very impressive. Not playing with big leads.
Tony made the point, you watched last night Sunday Night Football. I mean, Kansas City, it felt bad for Alex Smith in the fourth quarter of that game because they're down 2 scores.
Right.
And he is getting drilled on practically every drop back. They're just,
and that's kind of
the
norm, right? That's usually when you see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that you have to, so front-running teams, and I don't mean that in a negative connotation, teams that play with the lead more often than not.
Right.
We talked about it until we're blue in the face about the way Indy built that football team. You build it to a powerful offense and 2 guys to chase the quarterback because you're going to be in the lead the whole second half, and you just want to create havoc. And that's how the Indy had the formula to win 10 games, 12 games every year.
And this front also has done it. Yeah, we're giving Cinderic a lot of credit, but it's been Ryan Davis at times, Roy Miller, Chris Clemens last week. It's been sort of how they thought it would be in the offseason. When you went and signed this depth, when you got Red Bryant, Ziggy Hood, Chris Clemens, they hoped that they would be giving these guys fresher legs and that you'd have more of a team effort with everybody sort of getting it done. I don't think they thought they had a premier elite Pro Bowl pass rush in the bunch, and it's sort of played out that way.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. They want to get to that franchise record in sacks. It's going to be 5 or 6 guys getting 5 sacks.
Right.
I mean, that's how this team is going to get it done. And
we'll take it.
To this point, that's what they're doing.
We will take it. 6-4-1-10-10. Let's get John on board next. John, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, I've heard all the accolades for Blake Bortles and the offense and their last, end of the game, well done, efforts. But the fact of the matter is the defense outscored the offense. And let's not disregard that. It's so frustrating. I'm a huge Jag fan. I've got season tickets, all this stuff. But it gets frustrating to hear Blake Bortles. They ran this. They did that. Yeah, they got in position to score 3 points when they had to. But the fact of the matter is the defense scored 14 points. It's so frustrating I love the direction the team's going into. I like what Blake did and what the offense did. But the fact of the matter is that defense was stout. It was stellar. And I don't feel like we're giving them enough credit. They scored 14 points for this team. Without them, we would have lost.
Thank you, John. I don't know a single word that we spoke today that would suggest anything otherwise, but if you want to reemphasize that, you're certainly welcome to. There you go. John, you need to stop hyping up this offense over there. I think.
I'm sorry.
who's not talking about the defense? The fact of the matter is, if you lose the game, you're going to sit here and say, this wasn't good, this wasn't good, this wasn't good.
Call. We were just coming off me talking about the defensive line for like 4 minutes.
Right. And going through all these players and the impact they're making. And
listing every player. Talking about how they're going above and beyond.
Yes.
You know what?
Had JT Thomas in here.
Come
live.
Out of the next break. You know what we should talk, Mike? We should talk a little defense.
Let's do that. We've been ignoring it. But when you win the game, certainly there are areas you're deficient in. And you say, well, we got to continue to improve upon them, but he threw a butt at it. The big butt is, but they won the game.
Yeah.
And that's in the end result. You take that, and is it a pattern? Yeah, the offense has not been great. There's no question about it. But hope for this week, the defense stepped up, did enough as a team. They won the football game. Let's hope the offense. All we're looking for is building blocks. Mm-hmm. And I understand when you're 1-10, you're losing every week. You're like, boy, I'm sick of looking at building blocks and incremental improvement. Well, you can take that when you win.
Right.
Because you got the ultimate prize. Everything else is kind of the gravy. And then you dissect, well, how can we be better next time? I'd rather them win the way they won yesterday with that offense and the offense hang 40 and lose on a series of ridiculous flukes.
Right. The offense
who cares?
Had a lot of problems yesterday. But you saw a little bit of a scratch the surface of Marquise Lee and Blake Bortles getting a little rhythm together. And that's very significant.
There's no question the O-line has been an issue, okay? But the O-line's important. Nothing's more important than the development of your quarterback right now. And there was an important game for him in that aspect to bounce back from a miserable first half collectively as a team, to not throw an interception for the first time, to deliver when he had to deliver. Yes, it's only a field goal. Why do you think Gus Bradley is going for two with 17 minutes left in the game?
Right.
He knows the state of the offense, so for the offense to have to come through and actually do that, even if it's only a field goal drive, I think that's big.
And if we're going to come on here every Friday and talk about our keys for the game, and every week somebody on the show mentions, I want to see what it looks like when they play a clean game without turnovers, and I want to see at some point in these last six games the ball in Blake Bortles' hands with an opportunity to win it and him go get it done. Mm-hmm. They did both yesterday. They played a clean game without turning the ball over. They won. Because of it. If they had turned the ball over at any point in that game, I don't think they win that football game. And Blake was given the ball with 2 minutes and a chance to go win the game. He did. Both of those are enormous building blocks for this team going into the last four games of the year.
Your problem is you didn't say the word defense in that sentence, and you will be admonished on the break. We got to take a timeout. 641-1010. We'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight asking you to hand out a game ball for yesterday's win. I think John's is going to the defense, and that's fine. Absolutely. I think a lot of them would
defense.
Go to the defense. They showed up as well. They played as well yesterday.
How many did they score yesterday?
They scored two touchdowns.
We should mention that.
We should. Let's make that a point when we return. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5. FM. Who's going to game-winning drive you home tonight? Jacksonville. defense.
What about
the defense?
Well, Lord,
you're welcome. On all levels, okay? Cars, the theme, defense, defense, defense. Don't forget to mention them. They're not getting enough love here.
Oh, this song we're going to get 6 years after Little Johnny O was sitting in the Coliseum. I'll tell you that.
What now? This was what?
This is Drive.
Yeah, I know it is. Right.
But no, this was 6 years after I saw him in concert.
Oh, you know, so you know the...
This is Late Cars. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, this is Heartbeat City.
Is that right?
Yeah. I can go Cars on you now.
I guess. This is one of their better songs. They're okay. Like I said, they're okay. They're just... Whatever. There's no, like, great soul to the Cars. You know what I mean? There's not, John. Do you disagree?
I'm a big Cars guy.
Do you know who John Osher is?
That's fine. You're a big Cars guy, but, you know, you could be a big...
There's not a lot
of
soul to me either, Mike. I mean...
No, then maybe that's fine, as long as you recognize it. I just want you to recognize. There's all kinds of, like, little poppy music out there that doesn't have much soul to it. There's nothing wrong with it. It could be popular. It's the
you know what,
pop
Tony?
Music.
If you don't have a deep soul, you don't get in Dennis's
kitchen.
Oh, my
goodness. I've noticed.
All right.
Stop it. I mean, I'm just pointing out that there's not much.
He's a soul
to
man
them.
Is what he is.
I don't want a depth to the Cars. Anyway, moving along. Wow. Defense, did I mention? On a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. You may use those for defense for your home or your person. Revolvers, sporting arms, everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed. You can visit guns4jax.com, guns4jax.com, or visit South Lane Avenue here to check out Wild West Guns and Gold. Give them a call at 693-0777, our Monday sponsor. On Jaguars Today, Wild West Guns and Gold. Today, Tom Bush Family Dealership Fan Feedback Spotlight. Tony, look for game balls for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do tell, what do we get?
Here's what we got from Christoph, the D-line and D-line coach. They played tough and beat Eli into the dirt. From Paul, the game ball has to go to the entire defensive line. They were dominant in the second half. Go Jags from at Irish Jaguar. The defense as a whole, but if I have to pick one, Sendarek. That man is a beast. From Eric, Sendarek and the entire D-line deserves game balls after that performance. From Paolo, Blake Bortles for bouncing back after a few horrible weeks. From Hadari, the Jags D for playing both defense and offense yesterday. From Steve, we got game ball goes to Gerhardt for making free subs possible. From Joey, JT Thomas or Colvin should get the game ball. Needed touchdowns. They scored them. Hashtag, how'd that happen? Hashtag, kids first. Comeback from Jags movie guy. Defense for finally blowing it up and the fans for sticking around for the second half after that horrible first half. And from Brian, we got, I don't fear opposing tight ends anymore. Not sure I've ever felt that
I know,
way.
I saw that.
Hashtag linebacker upgrade.
By the way, the boys were calling him Donnell yesterday. I could have sworn it was Donnell, but I guess it's Donnell. They get the pronunciation guide, I'm assuming. But he hit that one big one down the gut, and I bet you weren't feeling that way at that time yesterday.
Well, that wasn't linebacker problem.
That was Josh Evans. Right, but wasn't that in between the linebacker safety gap?
No, Evans was up in the box for some unknown reason. Because he was
past.
Chasing that play down from behind.
Yeah.
Josh had
his moments yesterday.
Yeah, that play and when he ran, I mean, it's easy to do. Odell Beckham's going to make some guys miss in the open field, but when he ran right by Beckham on that screen, it was the next drive
where
Martin was on the field for a series. And it was just kind of a message to Josh, look.
Right, he basically came out on that play.
Yeah, we can't have that.
And he came up later and stuck somebody in the exact same kind of circumstance.
Yeah, like on one of those little bubble screens the Giants ran
and blew the
play
up.
Play.
You know,
yeah.
And he just, it was almost like he wanted to go in there and make that, you know, game-changing play instead of just making the simple play, which at the time might have changed the game a little bit, you know, in a positive fashion, just a little more incrementally.
He can do that to you.
I'm just saying, you come flying up there, I think he made it, I think he came in there.
Coming in hot.
A little hot, yes. That's a good way. That's a good way to. But he and Simple tend to do that from time to time. But hey, they're on defense, so they did well yesterday, right? Because we just threw the blanket. Defense good, offense bad.
How many touchdowns did they score? We need to mention.
They scored
that.
Two. The defense scored two
on,
of those
Jim.
Touchdowns
two?
Yesterday.
All right. Holy cow.
We should get one of those guys in here. Oh, wait. We did. JT Thomas.
Yes, we did.
Nice job for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, Ozone, the question is, what is your expectation? They have four games left. You know, starting with Houston this week, and it's, we gotta take it one game at a time because, Houston's the next game, so it's the most important game, blah, 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 blah. What do you expect, though? What do you think is realistic here? Can they get another one? Can they get a couple more?
You know, I think a realistic goal, you know, you still got a chance to finish four or win four games at Everbank Field. It's not absurd to think that you go out and play Houston and Tennessee tough. I mean, so I'm saying it's going to happen. I think a realistic goal is with this schedule, you should be in every game and have a chance to win and get yourself in situations where we see how they play under pressure in the fourth quarter in three of these last four games.
Is it not logical that provided Tennessee doesn't win their next couple or the Jags will, you know, maybe lose several key guys to injury, Jags got to be favored at home against Tennessee, don't they? They're both two-win teams.
You would think. Tennessee's lost six in a row.
Right, and the Jags went down to the wire at their place and had a chance to kick a game-winning field goal, yeah. You know, on the last play.
It's hard to tell the lines in the last game of the season.
People, yeah. I like to look at that stuff.
But,
I mean,
it's hard to know where you'll be at in 3 weeks and what, you know, but, yeah, and they should be favored in that game, you would think.
You would think. I'm curious to see what happens with Zach Mettenberg. I didn't see how he got injured. He had a sprained AC joint.
I didn't either.
I'm curious to see the play. I'm going to go look for that because – you know, the big knock on him was his lack of mobility.
Right.
And, you know, anybody can get hit. Blake got sacked seven times. It's not that he has a lack of mobility.
Right.
So anybody can get hit. I'm just curious because Jake Locker came in, and clearly he's not getting the first team reps anymore, but was not good at all yesterday.
Obviously what you'd like to see in the last four, you know, this team needs to feel good about itself going into the offseason. This regime is going to be here. This is who you're building with. This is the team. But mostly they still need to continue finding the core. They need to keep finding guys like they're starting to find Marquise Lee, like they're starting to find Aaron Colvin. You want to keep finding guys like that that you feel like, okay, this is a guy who we can rely on to do X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
Now what do we need to go along with that?
Didn't mention Demetrius McCray's name all day, and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
I mean, he shut it down on that side of the field.
Year.
Right. Yeah. Grotz, you saw a couple shaky moments from him yesterday, but Colvin, I mean, look, nobody looks the part more than Colvin in that secondary, really, for this defense, and that he's flying around making the plays he is just 2 weeks into his career is very promising.
You know,
Telvin
Smith,
forward.
I mean, there's guys that, especially if you believe that players really do improve dramatically in their second year playing full-time roles, all these guys we're talking about, if they make jumps, then you're starting to get core guys.
They all won't. We know they all. I mean, just
well, the guys we just mentioned.
Well, I mean, look.
Not all of them will, but the guys we just mentioned, I think, have a chance to.
Certainly. And so, if you get a reasonably high percentage of those guys that do, then you're in good shape. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say Cyprian's made a big jump in year two.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, just because you have the potential and we believe he's got the ability, doesn't mean just that 1 year of seasoning is going to lead to automatically a big jump. Sometimes it comes in year three. Sometimes it just doesn't come.
Sure.
You know. So. Let's hope they all jump. John, defense, I want you to dwell on the defense in your writings this week,
yeah,
please. Offer them praise.
Sometimes I fall short, and maybe today is one of those days.
No, that's typical of you, I've found. Seriously, what do you have coming up this week?
You know, it'll be a fun week because you get a chance to talk to these guys about some success. So today we'll have Gus Bradley press conference, and then we're into the week.
There you go. John Osier, senior writer. Jaguars.com. Appreciate you, brother. And
thank you,
thanks to JT Thomas for stopping by. Josh Scobie stopping by as well, kicking that game winner. For Fat Tony, for Lauren Brooks, for Joe Fortunato. Hopeful to have some Jag coaches on with us tomorrow on the Players' Day Off as well when Jeff Loggeman joins me. What's always a spectacular edition of Jaguars Today every Tuesday.
You
I
live
find.
For Tuesdays.
I really do. I live for you walking by that bay window every Tuesday and just giving me a knowing grin that it's going to be a good one.
I know
today.
You're in a good place on this.
I you can rest assured I can get through Tuesday just fine. Thank you very much. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold, all of you out there. Congrats to all you Jaguar fans for hanging in with your football team yesterday.